get together, and I just pray that you'll use your word to help us grow and to be better Christians. Help us to be better ladies for you. Help us to be a good example to the others around us. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen. The title of my sermon is Words. Words and how important they are. I'm going to give a few scenarios, and then I want you guys to think about them. And then I'm going to come back to them at the end. Okay, scenario number one. Your child or grandchild is playing with a couple other kids. One family is always super critical when something happens. The mom comes up to you and talks about the other child's behavior. So bad kid number one's parents talk to you, and their kids are not the greatest. Knowing full well that their child is sneaky, the one that's talking to you, how do you respond? How do you counsel? What if the person's saved? What if the person's unsaved? Is it a different counsel? So think about that. That's scenario number one. Scenario number two, we're flying to the husband. Your husband has spent hours, maybe weeks, maybe months working on a project, whether that's remodeling your house or remodeling a corner of your house. My husband doesn't do any of that, so I really don't understand this, but he's working on something. And you know he spent a lot of time, a lot of time in this project. Something goes wrong. How do you respond? Is it okay to complain? How about our hotel? What if really bad things happen? How do we respond? How about somebody in the church cleans it? We used to have a lady that was, well, she's 96 now, but I think when she was 80, she retired from cleaning the church. And bless her heart, I wouldn't want to do it in my 30s, let alone in my 80s. But what if she missed a piece of paper that had dropped? Because, you know, you pull out your keys, you drop a piece of candy wrap, whatever. How do you respond to something like that? We'll come back to it. Okay, the next one. Someone comes up to you and complains about your husband. Do you defend him? Do you get upset? Do you go along with it? Okay, next one. How do you respond to bad news? Something bad has happened. We're going to go into this more in detail, but Ralph Weir, when he was talking about Myrtle and what happened to her, is that how we respond when bad things are told to us? Going on. Now, I'd like you all to turn to Proverbs 19:1. Oh, I'm sorry. Psalm 19:1. We'll get to Proverbs, but not right now. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Let's go to 14. That's actually where I wanted. See, I told you I'm refusing to get bifocal, but one day I'm going to have to do it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Words are words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. It's like saying the same words. Your mouth and meditation. What you meditate comes out of your mouth. And it may not do it in the good times when you're well rested and you've had good preaching, spiritually rested. But what if the times where you don't quite get as much sleep as you needed to, or you just broke your favorite plate, which happened to me, how do you respond then? Because it's really easy to respond when things are going great. But how about when you didn't get much sleep and the kids were up all night and then your husband goes to work, he comes home, And he said, what have you done all day? What have I done? What have I done? What have you done? You know? So, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight. What we think about and what we meditate on always comes out of our mouth. You can hold it back for a while, but not forever. And we're going to talk about our testimony along with this, all the way along. Is our testimony affected by what we say? One of the things that disturbs me the most as a pastor's wife is hearing the easy way out. You know how she is. Yeah, but does that mean it's okay? Is it acceptable if they're well known as having a terrible testimony? No. Yeah, I know how I am too. But does that make it okay? Does it make it okay for us to have to say and do whatever we want? Because that's the way we are. And not only am I talking to you, but everything I say, I reevaluate in my own head, because it's so easy for me just to say whatever I think and not think. And when I started studying this several months ago, I thought, you know what, I'm not really the right person to talk about this, because it's very easy for me, just somebody says something to me and it just rolls off my tongue. Not graciously, but it shouldn't. And shame on me, and shame on you if you do the same. So let's go on. Proverbs 25:11. I told you we'd get to Proverbs. Proverbs 25:11. And it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Now, we've talked about words. We're talking about words, fitly words. That's one of those words that you hear, and I'm sure Heather looked at, you know, 19-year-old looks at, goes, fitly? What? What's a fitly word? An appropriate word. An appropriate word is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I think of when somebody comes up to me and says, what do you think of my dress? A fitly word, an appropriate word. It may not be your favorite, but do you say, oh, it's beautiful? You shouldn't. Scripture says all over we shouldn't lie. You know, it's a beautiful color. It may not be a beautiful color on them, but it's a beautiful color. There's always something that you can say that's not hurtful or harmful. But, you know, I always think of, I don't say it, but this is the, it pops into my head and rolls off my tongue. You know, you're very brave to wear that. Probably not the best thing to say to somebody. But a fitly word or an appropriate word. You know, I'd love to go shopping with you. You like going shopping? You know, Heather and I, we go shopping, and 99% of the stuff she looks at, and I go, okay, not for me. But now I know what she likes, and I can say, you like this? Yeah. I would never wear it in a million years, but that's her, you know, what she likes. So, okay, kid's a brat. He's running around like a lunatic. And we as mothers, you have a safety net in you somehow, or I don't know how to exactly explain it, but when Heather was little, she was Satan in a form of a child, and I'm not kidding you. A lot of you remember, because she came to the IVF Nace when she was 3. She was awful. She, if you heard something crash, it was either A, her dad, or B, her that broke it. Guaranteed. But she just was very curious. Always had to be into something. You know, she would crawl, as soon as she could crawl, she'd crawl over, go to touch something, and she'd look at her hand and she'd cry because she knew it was going to get hit. She'd look at me and look at her hand and cry, but she would not stop touching whatever I told her not to touch. So, I mean, I raised a brat. I understand. Well, now she's not a brat. She was back then. So, you know, what do you say? A parent comes up to you and asks you what you do about their kid. What's the appropriate thing to say? Oh, she'll grow out of it. Will she? Without correction? Will she really? You know, I joke all the time about the reason Heather's rear end is flat is because of how many spankings she got. But they won't grow out of it. We know that. Train up a child in the way he'll go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. You train them to do whatever they want, they'll do whatever they want. You train them to do what God wants, and they will. Okay, going on to the next thing. Job 6:25. So we had fitly words. Now we're going to have forcible words. Job 6:25. How forcible are right words, but what does your arguing reprove? Forcible words. Do you know someone that never complains, never argues? I know a few people, and when they say something that would be considered slightly criticizing or critical, or that, I don't think that's the right word, but something that, a correction. Whoa, you better listen, because that's a forcible word. The right, I have a lady that works for me. I run a 24-hour Tim Hortons, and she works midnight. So she's basically on her own. She works with my daughter. She's on her own. If she comes up and says, could you ask the afternooners to fill in the blank? Yes, I do. Because she never complains. Somebody goes over to complain to her, she says, I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. What a great testimony. She had somebody come through the drive-thru one day, and they were just completely rude. Just completely rude. They ordered, and when they got to the window, they thought everything should drop for them, which we have 99% of our customers are that way. But they start knocking on the window, drive through window. Hello, I'll be right with you. Knocking on the window, and when the window opened up, you're being rude. And she said, no, you're the one being rude. And as soon as I came in the morning, and she was right, but you can't talk to a customer that way. As soon as I walked in that morning, she was sobbing. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I said they were being rude, and I should have never said that. She wrote them an apology note, and the next time they came through, she gave it to them, said she was sorry that she had said what she had. What an awesome testimony. Okay, we had a guy in our church, his name was Bill Ellis, and Nancy Ellis, and they never complained about anything. So one day my husband gets a phone call. Yeah, Bill wants to talk to you, Pastor. Don't you hate those phone calls? Can he talk to you on Sunday? So, you know, 3-4 days later, he comes in and he talks, and my husband's like, whatever it is, I may have to leave the church because they never criticize anything. Well, come to find out, when he talked to them, he said, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. What a relief. You know, here he thought he was going to criticize something that was in the church or something that somebody had done, or, you know, and he thought, whoa. How about argumentative words? You know, we talk about how forcible are right words. But what does your arguing reprove? What does it do? I have a whole group of Jehovah's Witnesses that come in. They do their witnessing, and then they come back to our restaurant and try to evangelize my staff. And they're so argumentative. They're so, you know, you think about it. If you're out calling and you knock on somebody's door, you're not in the mindset of being converted. You're in the mindset of converting. And so they come into Tim Hortons to convert us. And you just hear the argumentation and just, no, that's not right. This, and I've had to say, you're going to have to go elsewhere if you start trouble. You know, it's just like punching somebody in the face. You go up to somebody that doesn't want to hear it. It's very upsetting. Okay, let's go on. Next one, Ecclesiastes 10:12. Ecclesiastes 10:12. The words of a wise man is gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Gracious words. Gracious words. Someone's upset at work, and this is always very, very fresh to me because I get yelled at a lot. Being in charge, I want to talk to the manager. Okay. One of my more recent quotes of people that the not so intelligent things they might say is, how hard is it? How hard is it to run a drive-through and get the right drink? Okay. So they call me up. How hard is it? I just wanted a cappuccino and I got a coffee. How hard is it? Click in my mind. Well, we had 426 cars today in 4 hours. Multiply that by 2 or 3 drinks per person. You've got 6 people working. You got 1 in the window. You got 1 taking the order, 1 doing the drinks, 1 running around like a lunatic, 1 making a sandwich, and 1 taking care of everybody that's coming in, and the baker in the back. How hard is it? Well, want to work for a week? I'll show you how hard it is. It's not easy, and those that think that fast food or any kind of restaurant work is easy, they need to work for one for a good month. In fact, I tell my staff all the time, you know what we should recommend, and you'll like this, Linda, is the people that do the crimes, you know, shoplifting and all that, they should have to work a drive-thru for 1 week, and they'll never do another crime again, ever. You have people yelling at, I had a coffee, this is too cold, this is too hot. So she asked me, how hard is it? How hard is it? So I thought, please, Lord, don't let me say what I think. So I paused and I said, well, I don't really think there's a good answer here, do you? Because I know no matter what I say is never going to make you getting the wrong drink right. It's never going to make it turn into a cappuccino. And we shouldn't have messed up. I apologize. What do you say? What do you do when you can't yell at, when you yell at someone and they won't yell back? Because we've all tried it with our husbands, right? Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But how hard is it? How do you respond? Do you take that deep breath and pray? Or do you just let those words roll right off your tongue? So, I had one lady say you should line everybody up because she got an egg that she thought was not done. Line everybody up, all your employees, and make them eat a sandwich with an egg that's not done right. How do you respond to that? Okay, sure, that's a great idea. Because I know how upset it made you to eat it, so I'd like to make everybody else. No, how do you respond? There was somebody that went to our church for years. In fact, they came to the IBFNA. I think the last one they came to was the one in Boston or Plymouth. She found out in January that she had cancer, and before the end of June, she was gone. Wonderful example. Wonderful. And we know people, lots of people, good, godly people that are this way. We go to visit her in the hospital, and she'd say to us, how's Lil Wade doing? Is he okay? Because I know he was having a hard time on his medicine. And I'm thinking, I just hope and pray that if that were me in the hospital with all that time on my hands, that that's the way I'd be thinking. What an awesome example. Okay, going on to the next thing. Ecclesiastes 9:17. little closer to where we've been at. Ecclesiastes 9:17. The words of wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. We have lots of examples of those that rule among fools. We can think of everything in the government, all the way down, the people that just blah, 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 and what comes out of their mouth is just garbage. And I think of the ones that, you know, for abortion. You want to hear me steam up. Tell me abortion's okay in some cases, as long as it's a violent act. It's okay. No, it's never right to kill a baby. Never right. Okay. So I only have 45 minutes, so I'm not going to go there. But I think of the fool, the blah, 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 blah. And some people are very impressed by that. What an awesome speaker, an awesome orator. Just flows and ooze and goos out of their mouth. Are we impressed by that? Are those fitly words? Are those wise words? So the words of a wise man are heard in quiet. You hear people that are talking to somebody else, and you want to get closer and you want to hear them. Because you know when they speak, jewels come out of their mouth. Just unbelievable. So, I think of wise words and how about Facebook? And this is something I've been really trying to evaluate. Because when I started with this, thinking about words and wise things and things like that, do we use things like that, our Facebook or our communication with others, as a means of griping or as a means of complaining? And I try to use it as a tool to keep in contact with people that I would never get on the phone and talk for hours with. Because some people, you call them on the phone and you know you got an hour gone out of your day, just like that. And to let people know to pray for us. I just read about Krista Savinsky, a family member of theirs just passed away. She's 27 years old, had CP, and she was asking for prayer for her family. What an incredible way to keep in touch and letting people know that you're praying for them and pray for them. I cherish it. I know it can be such a good tool, but make sure it's words that are have wisdom. You know, don't use it as I think kids have it, you know, can't think of what to do, bored out of my mind, and you look and it's Sunday morning about 10:30. I got an idea, let's go to church, you know. But how do you deal with that if you have that, or if somebody you know has it? Let's see, I don't know what I wrote there, but we'll just go right on from there. How do you advise somebody? And I keep coming back to this because I know when Heather was young, I always tried to talk to older people that had kids that had already graduated from high school, people that had kids that were serving the Lord. What did you do in the case of, you know, fill in the blank? Because not everything is a major thing. And there's sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you just need to ask somebody, do you think this is a big deal? Or do you think this is something that, how would I deal with this? How do I bring her back to the right way? And I was always amazed that people would ask people with kids their same age. You know, talking about pooling ignorance. How do you deal with your kid biting? Well, I bite him back. Well, that sounds amazing. I don't know. You know, how do you respond, or how did you respond to your kid? Because your kid serves the Lord. Your kid loves the Lord. How did you handle the situation? And there's not always a well, if your child does this, X, this. No, but, you know, how do you get your life right so you can handle things the appropriate way, in the godly way? So, you know, if somebody comes up to us and asks us, I consider my daughter raised-ish, you know, being 19, going out to college, I'm going to be asking some of you guys how you dealt with it, you know. But encourage those that have children, because I know the older I get, the less I want to be around them, and that's wrong. So I volunteered to do the nursery, and I do enjoy kids. But I understand now, you know, 20 years ago when people said to me, I don't want to be in the nursery, I'd rather have my lungs ripped out, you know. Now you understand. Well, because the kids aren't being taught to behave, or there's no punishment. I was teaching the twos and threes one time, and this little girl came up. She sat next to me, and I said something. She had done something wrong, and I said, you're being very bad right now. And please don't tell your kids what they're doing is being bad. They're being bad. It's sinful. I had somebody say, well, what they're doing is bad, not they're bad. Really? Because I think if you read like a half a page in the Bible, it pretty much tells you you're bad. She sat down next to me, and she said, I'm not bad. You're ugly. And that was the worst thing she could think of, was to tell me that she was ugly. And I said, you're being ugly right now, and your heart is ugly. And she cried and cried and cried. But how do we respond to kids when they need correction? Do we ignore it? We say, well, let your mom deal with it. Going on, Proverbs 31:26. And this passage has always been a little scary for me because I don't claim to be the Proverbs 31 lady. And from what my husband explained, that this is the perfect woman, and, you know, there's no way that we could do all these things. But I do qualify on the getting up early in the morning because I wake up at 4:30. So I got that one. All the other ones I'm not quite sure about. But Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Wise and kind words. She thinks before she speaks. How do you treat your child? Do you treat them with the same kind of respect, or your grandchild, the same kindness that you demand them to speak to you? I think it's interesting, several years ago, it's maybe the first year we came to Berean, and this is our 20th anniversary there. This lady was talking to her child, and she said, be nice, you pig. And I'm talking to her on the phone. And I thought, you know, at first it struck me as really hilarious. Be nice, you pig. And then once I stopped laughing, I said, do you realize what you just said? She goes, what are you talking about? I said, you said, be nice, you pig. How is your kid going to be nice if you're telling him in that way? You know, you call him a name, he's going to call you a name. He gets a little bigger, he's going to call you another name. And I was so puzzled. You know, do we treat our kids with kindness? Do we treat them with respect? They're being bad. Do we treat them with kindness but firmness? Okay, going on. Proverbs 15:1. And this has helped me more than probably anything in just dealing with people at work, dealing with my husband. You understand what I mean. And dealing with my daughter, my bosses. Proverbs 15:1. The soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. How true is that? Soft answer. Like I said before, it's really, really hard to fight with someone that won't fight back. Can you believe you did that? I'm sorry. And mean it. I'm sorry. Okay. But they can try it again, but soft answer. They won't get that response, that anger response. How do we respond or react when someone scolds us? And as pastor's wives, as workers in the workforce, as grandmas, I'm sure everyone here has gotten scolded within the last month by someone. Someone's corrected us somehow or another, right? How do you react? Self-defense? Well, how dare you say that my kid or I... Well, do you think about what they said? Do you evaluate it? Even, and this is the hard part, even when they say something to us that is not in the right way, we still have to evaluate it. Do we evaluate it and check to see if something in there is something for us? Is this true? Is this something that I've done? Well, yeah, I did that, but you, do we retaliate? Do we listen with humility? That's hard. Do we listen? Or do we listen to respond? That's hard. Then after we evaluate it, if it's true or not, do we change? Do we fix it? You know, I don't know anybody that has completely arrived spiritually. There's always something that we work on. And I think, thank you, Lord, that I got this, I feel like, under control. Or somewhat. Really? Then something else, another form of it, comes in our way. I remember several years ago, my husband, when we first got married, 25 years in August, yay. When we first got married, he had a temper. And it's hilarious. Because people think that he's like the most even-keeled person in the world. And by and large, he is very even-keeled. But when we first got married, he had a temper. And I remember he was helping his dad carry a file cabinet, and it was flapping all over the place, and he has that wide of a file cabinet, and he has that wide of a room to get through. And he was moving it, and the door came and smacked him on the hand. Oh, he was mad. Ah, he dropped it down. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. I looked at him and I said, how mature? What? I said, how mature that is to get upset at something that did nothing to you. It didn't, you know, turn into a person and smack you. You did it to yourself. How silly it is. And he is so good at not losing his temper now. But I remember saying something to him about where I've never really had an issue with anger. Oh my goodness. It wasn't. 2 hours later, I was upset about something. The Lord has a great sense of humor, and he has a great way of causing us to be humble. Okay, so going on. My first question, we're going to go back to some of these scenarios in just a second. How do you react if you are scolded? We went over that, or gone over that. Evaluate it. See if it's something that we need to change. If it is, change it. If it's not, thank the person for telling you and apologize for hurting them. Because obviously you had hurt them. You know, you hurt them. You may not have meant to, or you had a pure motive behind what you did, but there are times, you know, you apologize for upsetting them. Okay, what does it mean to turn away wrath? We talked about this a little bit. It's hard to fight with someone that won't fight. And you know what? We as ladies set the tone in our house. If you want to get your husbands upset, we can do it. and very quickly and very easily, and we know what buttons to push. 5 seconds, that's all it takes to get your husband upset, if you know him well enough, right? Doesn't take long, and when I was newly married, it didn't take long to figure out what things upset him. Don't do those things. You want a peaceful marriage? Don't do those things that upset him. Don't start fights. Don't use the soft answer turns my wrath. And okay. So, what does someone see when they see you? What do they see? Do they see the fool babbling, blah, 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 or do they see wisdom coming from their mouth? Do they see appropriate words? Do they see kind words? Because our testimony is intertwined with what we say. Very much so. In fact, people watch you and you don't even know it. I have people come up to me. I'm at work. Like I said, one day, 426 cars in 4 hours. That's a lot of people. That's a blur of people, you know. And that's just through the drive-thru. People watch you. I have people come in every day and they'll sit down. They'll get a cup of coffee and they'll sit there for an hour, 2 hours. We're their entertainment. What do I say at work? Am I the right kind of testimony? Every day. Last week, our air conditioning went out at work. See, I'm no big deal. Throwing a couple ovens and a donut oven and a couple coffee pots, and you got a lot of heat. How do we react? It's not snowing, is it? Are we thankful it's not snowing? Because I am. Because that could be cold air blowing in here, really cold air. So, are we thankful for the things in our life that happen to us, even though they're not pleasant or not what we think are great? So, what do people see when they see us? Do they see a good testimony? Do they see a good example? What does a grievous word stir up anger? I think as a little kid that you're in the middle of the conversation and kid's poking. Mom, 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 mom. What? That's what I think of, sort of grievous words. Just poke at you, poke at you, poke at you. And it's interesting because last Christmas time, there were a lot of things that went on in the Payne household. But I found out they thought I'd broken a rib. Well, it ended up being pleurisy. So breathing's really hard either way when you can't breathe because of a rib or pleurisy. Then, as I was starting to feel better, I tried to cut off my thumb, which some of you enjoyed on Facebook, the pictures. But then after that, they thought I broke my foot, because my feet always hurt. I went into the doctor and they said, yeah, it's broken. So from there, I went to my regular doctor and said, okay, you're a woman, it's time. Get your yearly check. So I did that. You have a vitamin D deficiency. Well, maybe that's why I felt like I was run over by a car and dragged most of the way down Belleville. But then after that, I'm in that. And then, well, we found something on your biopsy. It's a suspicion, but we want to, or on your mammogram. So long story short, biopsy, everything's fine. But there's a long haul physically. And I just kept telling the Lord. I said, you're in control. And you know what I thought? I've been praying for a break. You know what? He does have a sense of humor. Pray for a break. Too much, Lord. I need a break. Well, he gave me a break. He gave me a day off work here to have this test done and a day off work there to have that test done. But, you know, he doesn't give us anything we can't handle. That's true. And we need to be that kind of example. Okay. Remember, because you're being attacked, it doesn't mean that you need to attack. How do we react? Very important. Because you can always say the right thing, but then somebody says something to you, how do you react? It's your testimony. What does our testimony say? Can people tell you're different by the way you look? I can't tell you how many times we've been somewhere and somebody came up to me and said, are you a Christian? Because you look like a Christian. Well, I didn't have a skirt on. It's amazing how we can spot other Christians in the middle of a restaurant or in the middle of an amusement park or wherever. Does our testimony show that we're separate, that we are a Christian? Or does it show that we just want to be like everybody else? Let's go back to our first scenario. And that was, the humidity is unbelievable in here. Your child's playing with a couple of friends. One family is always super critical. When something happens, mom comes up and talks to you about the other child's behavior, knowing full well that their child's sneaky and has their parents fooled. How do you respond? Do we respond differently with unsaved and saved? In some ways you have to. In some ways. But what I do is I take them to scripture and say, the scripture says, train up a child in the way it should go. Is this the kind of behavior that you want your child to portray? You might not be able to, well, you shouldn't say, well, the reason they do that, I'll tell you simply, is because dad's not head of the home and mom is, and mom did this and that. What is that? That doesn't help anybody. What you need to do is point them to scripture. That's why you need to be a good example to your kid. That's why your kid, you need to follow through. If this is a problem, deal with it this way. Okay, the next one. Your husband has spent hours working on something. How about a conference? And I have, this isn't to get anybody in trouble or anything, but sometimes there's things that aren't in your control. Most things aren't in my control, even though I am a control freak. I've tried to control that better. You understand. But sometimes there's things that you can't control. A lot of times there aren't. How do we respond? Do we throw things and grumble and complain or feed the fire, fuel it? You know, your husband's upset. Yeah, you know, that's right, because they don't treat you right, and that's why they need to leave the church, and they're never thankful for it. What does that do? Is that biblical? Soft answer turns away wrath. And all those things may be true, but it's not the right thing to do. Someone comes up to you and complains about your husband. You know what I do? Talk to my husband. I have nothing to do with this. If it's a woman, I'll go with you. If it's a man, he'll listen, and he will. He'll sit there and graciously take everything that he's given. That's what you should do. Don't join in. It's very easy to. Yeah, you know, I've been working on that for 25 years. No, you want to say it, but it's not wise. It's not kind. How do you respond to bad news? And the older we get, the more it's inevitable that you hear bad things. People my age and younger are passing away, dying in horrible situations. How do you respond when somebody talks to you about that? How do you advise them? My mother-in-law, when she was ill, and a lot of you knew her, she was a sweet lady. I love my mother-in-law now, too. Anyway, when she was dying, she had pulmonary fibrosis, which literally you suffocate to death. You have so much scarring in your lungs that you can't catch your breath. And our doctor is a Christian, and after she passed away, and he said to Bob, your mom never had fear in her eyes. What an awesome example.
I don't know about you, but if I can't breathe, I'm afraid. She trusted the Lord. She could have complained. I never heard her. That's the way we need to be. Let's end the prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time. I pray that you'll help us all to think before we speak. Help us all to be a good example. Help us all to use kind and fitly words, appropriate words. Help us to be the example that others can look up to and not look down at. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.